The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same, and he answered, 'I go, sir,' but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the dominion of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Jesus was in the temple teaching, and the chief priests and elders said, "By what authority are you doing this?" On Friday afternoon, in the pouring rain, I processed with faculty and chaplains to bear witness to the inauguration of Claudine Gay, the first non-white person and only the second woman to hold the office of president of Harvard. And it was, in spite of the pouring rain, a joyous day. There was music and dancing and poetry and, of course, many, many, many remarks. When President Gay finally got to the podium to give her own remarks, her own address, the assembly was clearly moved by her mention that it was a long walk from Wadsworth House to the place where she was standing. It was a long walk. Now, in steps, this is definitely not a long walk. This was maybe, by Google Maps, a 2-minute walk. But President Gay was referring to the fact that there were four people, Titus, Venus, Bilhah, and Juba, who once lived and worked in Wadsworth House as property of the president of Harvard. Hear that again. Four human beings were personal property of the president of Harvard, just steps away from where our now president, Claudine Gay, a black woman and a daughter of Haitian immigrants, was standing to give her address not only to the whole Harvard community, but to the world. It's a short walk, and also, as she said, it's a long, long, long walk. Thanks be to God for those who walked before her. Thanks be to God for those who paved the way. And thanks be to God for this moment that we can enjoy together. Amen? Amen. Now, in that moment, in my privileged position, being able to sit and watch her speak and claim her authority to be on that stage and in that role, I was thinking of a couple of things. One thing I was thinking of, one person I was thinking of, was Jerina Lee. Now, Jerina Lee was a free black woman from New Jersey who was well known for her gospel testimonies in the 1800s. And I say testimonies because women were not allowed to preach in the church at that time, but they were allowed to give testimonies. What's the difference, I ask you? We don't really know. She was allowed to give testimonies, but not to preach, and she became famous for them because she gave witness to her life and her experience of God. In 1836, Jerina Lee became the first African-American woman to publish her own autobiography. And in it, she wrote that she often heard God's voice telling her, "Go and preach the gospel. I will put words in your mouth. I will put words in your mouth." By whose authority? By God's authority. Amen? Now, I also thought, as I was watching Claudine Gay give that amazing speech this week, I thought of the dozens of LGBTQIA plus folks, the alphabet mafia, as I like to call ourselves, who were ordained extraordinarily in the Lutheran Church in the years leading up to the 2009 ELCA vote. When finally, our denomination allowed all people, regardless of sexual orientation, to serve as ministers of word and sacrament. These pastors knew that they were called by God and by the world, by their communities, to pastoral ministry, and they boldly and courageously stepped up to the call, even though our denomination did not approve. One of those extraordinarily ordained persons, Jeff Johnson, was just elected bishop in the Sierra Pacific Synod in the last week. And by whose authority? Say it with me. By God's authority. By God's authority. Now, when we consider the gospel text for today, from the gospel according to Matthew, we see that the chief priests and elders are contending mightily with the issue of authority. Jesus has just turned over the tables of the money changers, and now he's there in the most sacred place, preaching and teaching. And of course, the religious authorities are not pleased. Who told you you could do this? Who does Jesus think he is? When I read this story, I do have a hard time not thinking of the priests and other clergy, fellow clergy members I got to know in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, who a few times a year, every year, will get into embarrassing scuffles about who is allowed to sweep which tile on the floor or clean which stairway to the tomb of Jesus, which, by the way, is empty. Amen? The tomb is empty. The men in black still today consider it their mission to keep order and to keep people like me in order. But I digress. By whose authority was Jesus there in the temple that day? By whose authority did he speak and teach? Jesus answered the authorities' questions with his own question and then with a story. He said, "I ask you, a father asks his two sons to go into the vineyard to work. One says yes, but doesn't actually do it. The other one says no, but then changes his mind and does it. Which one is doing the will of the father?" And the elders couldn't agree. They had to argue about it. But Jesus was clear. The righteous one, the one who followed the will of the Father, was the one who actually responded. The one who changed his mind. The righteous was the one who listened and was transformed by what Jesus said. Now, I think all too often, friends, the church has been like the child who says one thing and then does another. We've all seen it. We say, all are called to share the good news unless you're a woman. All are called to be ministers except for gay folk. All are called, all are welcome except for you if you don't look like me or vote like me or believe like me or have the stuff that I have or live the life that I live. All too often, this is what we the church, have been. By whose authority? friends, do I speak before you today in this pulpit? I speak by God's authority, but also I speak here because the church changed its mind. Because people listened to the word of God and changed. They were transformed. We were transformed. And it's by God's authority and by our authority through God that I am able to even be here. By whose authority do any of us speak truth to power, or act as peacemakers, or justice seekers, as apostles of understanding and reconciliation? It is only ever by God's authority. And this matters, that we know that, and that we accept that, because when we hear the call, when we respond, when we speak, there will always be those who will challenge us. There will always be those who say, "Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to do what you're doing, to say what you're saying, to be standing in that place, in that pulpit, at that podium at Harvard, to be standing with those people that you say you know that God calls you to stand with? By whose authority?" And what we remember, and again, I want you to say it with me, by God's authority. By God's authority. This matters. It matters. I remember when I was growing up, when I was a high school student in Oklahoma, there was a popular bumper sticker that said, "Jesus said it, I believe it, that settles it." Now, I'm not talking about that kind of authority, okay? That is a different kind of authority. That is a kind of, we don't get to talk, this is black and white, the Bible says it, that's it. I'm not talking about that kind of authority. The kind of authority I'm talking about is testimony. What God has done in your life. What God has done in your life. In the spirit of Jerina Lee, preacher, theologian, brave and courageous witness to the gospel, I'm here to say that it matters that we know that we speak with God's authority. It matters that when we hear the words that Jesus said, "Love your neighbor as yourself," "I have come so that you would have life and life abundantly. In my Father's house there are many mansions. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I am with you always unto the end of the age." It matters that we heed that authority, because that's what gives us courage to go into the world and be who God has created us to be. By whose authority do we ever live and speak and pray and love? By God's authority. I remember the first time I stood and pronounced a couple to be married, and this was before a person like me could be legally married to the one that I love. And nevertheless, I remember what a holy moment it was when I could say, "By the power invested in me, I declare Katie and Biscuit," yes, Katie and Biscuit were their names, "I declare Katie and Biscuit to be husband and wife. By the power invested in me," not the state. The state did give me the power, but by whose authority? By God's authority. Amen? You know what was even better? It was when I was standing in the Lutheran Church of the Redeemer in Jerusalem, in the old city, steps away from the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, where Jesus' tomb is, where the point of his resurrection is. It was the week of prayer for Christian unity. And seated in front of me in that church were many, many men in black. And I, the lady pastor of Jerusalem, spoke these words to all assembled. "In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Dear people, I want to remind you again, by whose authority are we here today? By whose authority?
By God's authority.
By God's authority. By whose authority do we live and love one another? By God's authority. By whose authority are our sins completely and fully forgiven? By God's authority. By whose authority will we continue to live and speak truth to power? By God's authority. Thanks be to God for Jesus, our brother, crucified and risen, present in, with, and under the bread and wine, moving today powerfully within our community and with us always unto the end of the age. Amen.